Well, how you doing? Zach Costin,
TJ Laramie,
Adam Henrique,
Joe Siddle, Megan
Augusta, Tyrone Crawford.
Holy Mackinac, you're listening to Wind City Sports.
What up, everybody, and welcome back to the Wind City Sports Podcast, Windsor's only local sports podcast, presented by Amherstburg Chevy Buick GMC. My name is Drake DeMore, and I'm your host for the Wind City Sports Podcast every Monday, anywhere podcasts are found, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and again, any podcast platform. Easily search us up, WINCITY is all one word. Search us up on social media. We have a strong social media presence at WinCity_sports. Again, a simple search is very easy to find us nowadays after over 5 years going strong doing this podcast. We're on every social media you might use, so give us a like, follow, subscribe, whatever it may be on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and as well as our YouTube channel. Give a subscribe and a review, a rating on any app or platform you might use for podcasting or social media. Hopefully a nice review. Now they're doing, you know, 5-star reviews on Spotify, so if you use Spotify, please give us a review and drop some feedback. Let us know what you like, don't like, who you want to be on, and etc. But without further ado, today is January 10th, 2022, and it's episode 239 of Wind City Sports. It's been a pretty quiet week for Wind City Sports. Obviously, a lot of things on halt right now. Last time I recorded a podcast to drop last Monday, I wake up in the morning and we have all this news about everything being shut down again. So podcast was a little bit outdated last week, but it's a strange feeling this time around, obviously, as everyone would agree. But the thing is, even more strange with the sports is that now the sports aren't necessarily halted. They are affected. They're still going on. It's really us that is more affected than anything. So, for example, Windsor Spitfires still playing games, but now without fans. Previous to that, they were doing games with up to like 1,000 fans. Throughout the whole OHL, that is, as well. And some games were postponed due to, you know, COVID protocols and stuff like that, rescheduled for a very early date. But now it's official across the board for the OHL, the next 2 weeks at least for now, as long as this stays on track. 2 weeks to flatten the curve, whatever. So for the next 2 or 3 weeks, all games are being played without fans. So back to that lifestyle, I suppose. We're going to get you caught up with the Spitfires a little bit in a moment here. We're also going to talk about Amherstburg Chevy Buick GMC. But before I do any of that, I want to talk about our guest this week on Wind City Sports. Very happy to bring this one to the masses. Another lacrosse episode. Probably only done a handful over the 238 episodes, but most recently had Ron Martinello, lacrosse legend. And previous to that, we've had Junior B Clipper players, Windsor Clipper players, who this person is actually alumni of, but he is now third of three joining Wind City Sports for Windsorites in the NLL. Obviously, we're talking to a lacrosse player, we're talking to a pro lacrosse player, Windsor's own Liam LeClaire this week on Wind City Sports. He plays for the Calgary Roughnecks. Again, their stuff being affected by COVID, as we talk about in the interview. I'm trying to go to a game, so that might be difficult, but great chat with Liam this week on the show. Again, kind of a sport that we don't talk about a lot here. I mean, we talk about the Clippers and our Wind City homies who are in the NLL and beyond, but just the sport itself doesn't get a lot of publicity, but it's getting more now on TSN. Again, something we'll talk about with Liam LeClaire, kid from Windsor. Obviously grew up playing other sports, but found a love for lacrosse and decided to chase that all the way up to Six Nations and then out to pro in Calgary. So be able to hear his story, and we'll talk more about him obviously throughout the show, but get you caught up with our Windsor Spitfires right after I tell you about Amherstburg Chevy Buick GMC. If you didn't know, Amherstburg Chevrolet Buick GMC is proud to serve drivers all throughout the county in South Amherstburg, Windsor, Kingsville, LaSalle, and beyond. They believe providing top quality service to everyone that walks through the door, and I can attest to that. That includes assistance with picking out new rides, financing it, and keeping it top quality condition. Right now, the Holiday Countdown event is back with amazing deals and savings on the new 2022 GMC Terrain. Check out AmisburgGM.com or make an appointment to check out their showroom now online or by phone. Again, that's Amisburg Chevy Buick GMC. Might have to bore you and talk about some more sponsors later on, but without further ado, we will talk about our Windsor Spitfires. Didn't miss too much in the last week. A lot of games postponed for the Spitfires, so we'll get you caught up with kind of what happened there following, I guess, Christmas time. So around Christmas, they went into the break, and coming out of that, they were able to play one game. Following New Year's, a lot of games were postponed. So out of the Christmas break, they did lose to Kitchener, snapping their six-game winning streak, as we talked about. From there, we had our New Year's Eve game postponed with Flint. We had a game with Sarnia, Guelph, Saginaw postponed. But they were able to play on Saturday. They played the Sioux, and they beat them pretty well. 5-2 was the final score. As I speak right now, they're actually in Sioux again for a doubleheader. So they played two nights in a row. Last night, one goal, three assists for Wyatt Johnson is the first star of the game. Absolutely killing it right now. He is also the CHL player of the night for Saturday with his goal and three assists, helping the Spitfires after a lengthy layoff score some crucial points against the West Division leading Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds. So again, they are battling them as I speak. This will be coming out Monday, so you can always check up on the score from yesterday. Going forward, they are set to play, I guess, with no fans at the WFCU on Thursday against Guelph. Should be able to watch these games on yourtv.ca as well. If you have Cogeco cable or local cable at all, you should be able to watch the games or stream, as mentioned, on OHL or CHL live.ca, I believe it is. I should know better. But following that, they'll have a game on Friday in Sarnia, a game in Saturday in Saginaw, and then back home again next Thursday. If things go according to plan, they should play at home with fans on Thursday the 27th. So stay tuned for that. Do not hold your breath. But that being said, we'll talk a little bit about, the pandemic affecting the home opener for the Calgary Roughnecks as I talk to Liam LeClaire. We're going to transition into that interview right now with pro lacrosse player, NLL's Calgary Roughnecks, and of course, Windsor's own Liam LeClaire. Here we go. Now joined by one of Windsor's own. He started off his junior B days with our Windsor Clippers before making the jump to the Six Nations Arrows, a very well-established lacrosse program in Ontario here. Just a few years ago, too, he was drafted to the National Lacrosse League in 2019 before the pandemic kind of ruined things. But now playing pro lacrosse for the Calgary Roughnecks is Liam LeClaire. Welcome to the show, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Drake. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. Again, always cool stuff to talk about these people in Windsor and sports. And I think like lacrosse, me, as I'm sure you'll agree, kind of gets overlooked a little bit. Our nation's sport, Windsor, mm-hmm. deep history in the sport as well. So thanks so much for joining me, man. It's going to be cool to talk some lacrosse.
Yeah, I love talking lacrosse whenever I can. I agree. It's kind of an overlooked sport from time to time. And not many people do know it's a national sport. So I think it's good to get some awareness out there and grow the game.
Yeah. Especially when we were younger too. I mean, going to the games was kind of like a thing, right? So that's how, aside from just playing, like that was my thing, was like going to AKO games and stuff. So it's right, cool right. to tell you guys stories. I mean, we got three guys in the league at least that, again, people might not realize, three guys from Windsor playing pro lacrosse.
Yeah, three guys from Windsor playing pro lacrosse and a few more trying to crack rosters or who have been drafted and whatnot, right?
So. Better yet, just in the NLL. That's what I was going to see. Maybe you could help. Like, there's guys elsewhere. Obviously, there's guys in college over in the States, but like MILL or something, So.
Yeah, I don't want to miss any names, but I could definitely name a few. myself, Josh Jubenville and Brett Hickey playing in NLL right now. Dylan Riley was on a practice roster as of last year. I'm not sure of the situation this year, but he's a very good lacrosse player as well. Obviously my brother was playing there for a while and unfortunately couldn't continue to play. Then you got guys who have been drafted like Andrew Garrett, Logan Holmes. Logan Holmes is in training camp this year. And
yeah, I just can't believe he's not there, eh?
Yeah, and he's a grinder, great lacrosse player. So no, that's another lacrosse name. And then you got Will Cecile and Pat Kashuk, who were just drafted in the draft this last year. And looking forward, probably guys who will get drafted, Jake Rosa, Braden Maya, there's going to – it's a nice little pipeline that's starting to come out of Windsor, it seems like.
So. Yeah, man. Yeah, it's weird with the last 2 years, given the pandemic and stuff and not seeing a lot of it. It's like a lot of things, it's like another lifetime, So, again, just love talking about it and giving you guys some praise, man. So
yeah, we appreciate that too, for sure.
Yeah, again, man, like you guys are – well, yourself, I mean – I want to talk about playing in Calgary. How's the West treating you anyway?
Oh, I love playing out in Calgary. That's definitely my favorite place to play from where I've seen the league so far. Fans are always electric. The team treats us very well. Also just getting the chance to go out West when I really, I didn't get that chance much growing up or anything like that. And I love it out there. Honestly, I have no bad things to say about it.
Yeah. I got to go out West my first time this summer. We spent a night in Calgary, but yeah, man, what a place to be. To get down there and go to your games. Cause I've talked to Brett, talked to Josh, you guys aren't really around there full time, right? You're coming in for your games or.
Yep. Exactly. So on our team, I think there's only 5 guys living in Calgary and only 2 of them are actually from Calgary.
Yeah.
Everyone else is flying in from, wherever. I think 5 guys in Ontario and then the rest are from BC.
Yeah. Well, like I talked about with Hickey, it makes it convenient to play a pro game. It's like a once a week kind of deal. You do whatever else you want throughout the week. I'm sure they help you get down and it's probably set up pretty well for you.
Yeah. Honestly, for me, especially as a student, I'm going to medical school at the University of Western right now, actually. And trying to play any other professional sport, obviously I'd really have to fully commit to that. Yeah. And lacrosse is at a spot right now where they don't need a week, like full week commitment. So you can have something else going on without being, something that you need to commit to, but not getting paid a living salary. Right. It's like that gray area, I guess you could say for now. And that makes it, possible for me to pursue my passion in medicine as well as play lacrosse.
Fantastic. Yeah. I mean, given just kind of the climate of the sport, I guess you can say it's unfortunate it's not as big as it probably should be, but at least it gives you guys like the ability to almost do whatever you want. You can play in other leagues as well, play in the off season and stuff, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So and a lot of guys are playing, when you say off season, there's a major series lacrosse in Ontario, and that's mostly NLL guys are playing in that league. Exactly. There's an equivalent to that out West. And that's, I think Andrew Garrett was playing in that a couple of years ago and Dylan Riley. So like you say, it does give us the ability to continue to play lacrosse. And honestly, I would be doing this for free anyways because I love playing lacrosse. So if I can get paid a couple bucks to play professional lacrosse, it's just a cherry on top. So
yeah, man. Like most things, people are paying to play, right? So
right, yeah. So it's a nice change. Yeah, getting something out of it instead of giving to play. Right, that's a nice change, and we all love the game, so we're gonna do it for as long as we can, right?
Yeah, man. It's real cool stuff, and again, like mentioned at the top, you're a Windsor kid. Come from an athletic family. Your brother also played in the league. I guess your dad was a good hockey player from what I've heard. And I'm sure that was a lot of fun growing up. What was life like for you growing up?
Yeah, life growing up was awesome, right? Like you say, big sports family. Myself and my brother, my parents got me involved in everything. Between my parents and my grandparents, the amount of support we had to play whatever sport we wanted to and get to every game and every practice was unbelievable. And obviously, my dad set a great example in terms of athletics. Like you say, he played hockey growing up. He was a very good football player, I guess. Yeah. Obviously, I've never seen the film or anything, but I've heard great things from people he knew growing up and whatnot. And my brother obviously set a path for me to follow in his footsteps, playing football, hockey, lacrosse, basketball, you name it, right? And honestly, I couldn't be more happy for the situation I was kind of placed into growing up in terms of sports and athletics.
Yeah, man. Just like a lot of Windsor kids playing a lot of sports, obviously playing hockey with lacrosse kind of going hand in hand. Were you just played everything or were you focused on anything?
Yeah, no, growing up, I played a little bit of everything, right? Like you say, hockey and lacrosse, that's kind of the combination you see with a lot of guys. And that was mostly me growing up playing a ton of hockey and lacrosse. And then as I got closer to high school, I started playing more football, and I actually went to the University of Windsor and played university football for a year there. So that was 1 year. And, I was kind of put in a position where I had to decide football or lacrosse at that point. And I knew there was more of a future in lacrosse for me. So I continued down that path.
Cool. I was going to bring that up too. I mean, you know, not a lot of guys do play like just one sport. And if they do, it's usually not lacrosse, you know? So especially here, again, just winter is hockey and summer is lacrosse. So
absolutely.
I was going to ask, you know, if there's ever a time where you decided to kind of shift that focus towards lacrosse, and obviously it would have been at least in your junior days, right?
Yeah, that's, I would say once I started playing junior B, like I shifted my focus away from hockey a little bit younger, to be honest. I think I would have been in like grade 9 or grade 10. You know, I knew that was coming to an end. So I started focusing more on lacrosse. And that's also when I started focusing a little bit more on football. So my interest is still a little bit split at that time, but I knew long-term that lacrosse was always going to be a part of my future. And especially once I started playing junior A lacrosse, that's when I kind of realized there's a door to the NOL here and I can do this and continue to go to school versus playing football. You know, who knows what would have turned out there. And then I think I would have struggled more with school and whatnot. So it ended up being just a really good fit for me to turn my focus to lacrosse and be more oriented on that.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it just works out perfectly. Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, while you're playing for the Lancers, you had to have been playing for Six Nations as well, right? Or at least the Clippers.
Yeah. So that was playing for Six Nations. That was my first year living up there and playing there full time. So I played my Lancers season, which is what's August till November roughly.
Yeah. It's not
then. It's not too long. And then that summer is when I was up in Six Nations. And so I played my whole season there. We ended up going to the Canadian Championship that year. And that's where there was going to be some overlap with football. And it's kind of given a little bit of an ultimatum, I guess, in terms of like football, lacrosse. And fair enough, right? I was going to be missing a lot of football time. I can't just come back and expect to get slotted into a lineup on the team, right? So I had to make a decision that I thought was best for me. And I went and we ended up winning the Canadian Championship that year. So obviously that worked pretty well and just continued focusing on lacrosse more and more now that I had some time free from football. Right. And got me here. So I think that was a good decision on my part.
Yeah. It worked out. Yeah. you know, even the Lancers, you know, it being obviously not really like a full-time thing year round, they still want you to commit to that thing, you know, you're not going to be split between it anyway, probably coming from their side as well, right? But did not know that you played for the Lancers. I mean, good history there. I mean, you were probably playing a little bit of a rough time for them, but one year in the book is better than none, man. So how was that?
Exactly.
Probably playing for Joe.
I was. So I played free safety for him, and so I came into the camp as a wide receiver actually, and the D coordinator that year, Joe Brannigan, was my high school football coach. So he's like, we could use a safety, come over and play for me. So that worked out good. I got playing time, played right off the bat. But you know, like you say, it's hard to be super committed to two things, right? It's hard to have your heart in both at the same time and make time for both plus school or any other extracurriculars on top of that. So it was an amazing time. Loved playing football, and I do miss the game absolutely. But at the end of the day, I think everything kind of worked out the way it should have.
Oh yeah, just wanted to touch upon, you know, the Lancers kind of organization, I guess you can say. You know, obviously talk about them a lot here, and kind of a dual athlete, didn't know about. So I just wanted to touch upon, you know, kind of the pristine, I guess, of the Lancers, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And another thing, like my brother played there before me, and he ended up leaving for lacrosse eventually too. So I think they kind of knew, you know, what they were getting into, and I was starting to follow down the same path as him. So they saw that come in, and it is what it is. And I'm, you know, organization wise, I loved it. Everyone treated everyone else like family. Had a great time being there, but I'll have to come to an end eventually. So.
Yeah. No, that's the Lancers for you. And, you know, hopefully no one else in your family looks to go there, because they're not going to be taking any more players. You'll just be going off the lacrosse.
Yeah, I think we're on sort of a blacklist for that team.
Yeah. Funny, but hey, man, before we even get into like the Six Nations stuff, because obviously I know you guys won the championship there with Josh Dubenville as well on the team. Yep. But before that, get to play for the Clippers at the junior B level. good junior B team we have here, and to kind of play for your hometown team, I'm sure was cool, right?
Oh, amazing. I grew up watching that team play, right? As a minor lacrosse player. After you play your games during the day, you're going to go to a Clippers game or AKO game at night. And it's something I always looked forward to growing up. And then obviously getting that chance to suit up for the Clippers was amazing. I kind of started out just going out to practice with my brother year before I was actually eligible to play or whatnot. And that helped get my feet wet and, you know, meet some of the guys and the coaching staff coming in, like Jerry Kavanaugh and all those guys. They're guys that coached me growing up. So a lot of familiar faces and guys I played with my whole life growing up. It was just fun to get the chance to play with those guys. So
yeah, you probably see that a lot throughout your career, you know. Again, we kind of talk about how it should be a bigger sport. Still, you know, hundreds, thousands, and maybe millions of players, but in Canada, it's probably a pretty tight-knit community, you know.
Very, very tight-knit. Yeah, like chances are someone in and around my age who played lacrosse from a pretty big proximity, I would probably know who it is, right? Everyone kind of knows each other, and even if I don't know you personally, I know someone who knows you.
Yeah, you play against each other, you know, exactly, stories or something.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's kind of how it's always been, and that's a very unique aspect of lacrosse. I don't think you really see in many other sporting communities.
Yeah, like especially, right? Like just because of the community. Like we'll talk about it later on as well. We talk about it with everyone. You know, you might play against somebody or play with somebody that down the line, you know, now you're playing against them or you're playing with them, right? So that comes up a lot.
Yeah, it definitely happens all the time. And I think a prime example of that actually is someone my brother played with. He played with a guy named Jordan Durston in Six Nations, but he's originally from Wallaceburg. So they played against each other growing up their whole time. You know, there's a lot of rivalry games.
I was going to say, probably not friends.
Not necessarily growing up, at least, right? And they ended up being very good friends and playing together. So, you know, like you say, small community, but you might think you hate someone, you meet them and they're a great guy, right?
So yeah, well, it's like that with everything, right? But that's what I'm saying, like with lacrosse, I'm sure that community is so close that it's that times 10, right?
It definitely seems like that. Yeah. You're not wrong. Yeah,
cool. But you guys had a good run there your second year. I mean, it looks like you said the first year played a couple of games, second year you had a decent run in the playoffs. You remember that season well?
Yeah, very well. I think we had a very good team. Maybe one of the best teams out of Windsor in a long time.
And, 2016, 17. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was that 2016.
It was 16, it's like that whole kind of
that whole group of guys, right? Yeah, the whole group of guys. And that's your right. We went to the game 5 with Orangeville in the semifinals of Ontario. And very confident if we won that game, they walked through. I think they played the Green Gales and the Clarington Green Gales in the final there, and they walked through them pretty easily. So I think we would have had a pretty, I wouldn't say easy, but we had definitely a path and a chance to get to the Founders Cup that year for the Canadian Championship, maybe missing a piece or two. And you know, some of the talent, you look at the team and the numbers, guys like Logan Holmes put up, Andrew Gunner, and then you got guys like, you know, you got a guy Chase Kavanaugh playing second or third string to those guys, which is crazy seeing the numbers he was able to put up after. And, you know, defensively, we had me, Pat Kashuk, Josh Ubenville, and many other guys that deserve a mention here too. And in that, Braden Bell, who was a big pickup for us and was able to step into a pretty big role. I'm honest, I missed that team a lot. Like, we were very tight-knit. We were hanging out and talking all the time. It was a great year. It was a really good year. A lot of fun to play with those guys.
Yeah, and like a lot of local guys too, right? That's what I was going to you mentioned all the names. I don't even have to. But, you know, I was going to say you got to play with some of Windsor's best, probably kids you grew up playing with all these years too, and now you're at the top level in our community. It's the Clippers.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's nice to – obviously, I don't see those guys as much anymore, unfortunately, but those are friendships I'm never going to forget and moments playing the game that will stick with you forever. And I really don't take them for granted at all. I look back so fondly on it.
Yeah, that's what they say, man. Some of the best times of your life, you just don't realize.
Absolutely, right? Yeah.
And then, you know, we talk about, you know, getting close to the Founders Cup that year. But then the next year, you and Josh were playing. Maybe some others, too, came with you. I don't know. But went over to the Six Nations Arrows. Again, great program out there, Junior A. So how did it kind of come up for you, the opportunity?
Yeah, so for me, so my brother ended up playing there first, right? So I think in 2016 is actually when he went and played Junior A for Six Nations. And that kind of created the line of communication for me. So that year, I AP'd for a few games with them.
Yep.
And then when 2017 came around, they basically said, if you want to move up here and play, there's a spot for you. And they ended up getting in contact with Josh and saying the same thing. So just knowing that I wanted to continue to play lacrosse down the line, that was, as much as I hated to leave Windsor, that was an opportunity I needed, absolutely needed to jump on. And do not regret it for a second. I had a great time there. They treated us like gold, right? And knowing the organization, how prestigious it is, that alone is something that I'm so grateful I got a chance to be a part of.
Yeah, that's like that's where you want to be, you know, if you're an Ontario junior player. Yeah, that's where you want to go.
Yeah, absolutely. And just hearing all the history of that team and how that community supports lacrosse in general, it's just such a spectacle to see. And like you say, that's where you want to be, and I'm glad I got the chance.
Yeah, I want to talk about that, but I mean, it would have been cool. It must have been cool that Josh went with you too, right? So at least to know somebody. And you know, with your brother playing there too, I'm sure you knew, you know, some of the staff and coaching and stuff. So, but it's always good to just to have, you know, some connections.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. And like you say, yeah, with Kellen playing there beforehand, I did know most of the staff and a few guys on the team pretty well already. And then it was nice. Josh, me and Josh traveled up and down the 401 together, or coming home and whatnot. And, we lived together, we worked together, you name it. And like you say, definitely nice to have a friendly face moving in there with.
Yeah. Wasn't sure if you guys were really like stationed up there or if you'd mostly traveled, but I guess you had, you know, lived on the reserve and stuff, right?
Yeah. We live there. So the owner of the team has like a loft, I guess, on his property that he puts guys from out of town up in, and that makes it so convenient. And he owns a company, and some of the stuff they do is involving landscaping. So that's what we were in for the summer. So it was nice because obviously owner of our team, he's flexible around lacrosse. So if we had a game in the afternoon, it would be like a half day of work kind of thing, which works out perfectly. And they really set us up so that we can go there and not have to worry about too much. You know, we have an income and we have a place to live and get to play lacrosse. So it doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't know. I obviously didn't even know that, but that's kind of what I mean by when I say that's where you want to be. Yeah. Obviously the prestige, like you talked about, like they got it all. So.
Yeah. There's not, like I say, like I just said, to be honest, there's really not much to worry about. Once you get up there, they treat you good, and you know, they make sure that you can stay there. You don't feel like you have to go home and drive 3 hours up the 401 for me and Josh, right?
Exactly. So. Makes it worth your while to recruit players too, right? I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah. You don't have to leave. But I mean, how were those games? Where is the crowd rowdy? Big crowds or what?
Yeah, we always had a decent crowd for sure. I mean, there's a lot of lacrosse going on the reserves, so they have a lot of teams to support. So you're not getting a packed house every night per se, but whoever showed up was very passionate about it. You know, everyone was in the loop of lacrosse. Like, it's not like in Windsor where you hear a little bit about the Clippers here now and then, maybe see an article. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows what's going on with every team. Everyone knows when the games are. They know how your team's been performing. You know, they know the other team's coming to town. It's really cool. It's almost like a different world when it comes to lacrosse, playing there versus anywhere else.
Yeah. I mean, that's what you want. Again, you know, that kind of grooms you for the next stage. Another reason why probably they're so praised, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And like you say, grooming you for the next stage. If I could look at our roster, I don't want to mention any names because I don't want to leave anyone off. But how many guys from that team, if not everybody, got drafted to the NLL, got a tryout, is playing in the NLL or still playing lacrosse in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
They definitely emulate the professional level of the game as best they can. So
yeah, it's hard to say, you know, where everyone's end path will be, but I like almost guarantee everyone out of there is getting an offer for something, right?
Right, absolutely. That's what I don't remember last time I looked at it, but I was pretty amazed by the guys that are on that roster and know how everyone was still playing lacrosse, or like you say, at least got an opportunity to continue playing lacrosse going forward.
Exactly. And that first year, I believe that you were with them is when you guys won the Canada Cup, right?
Yeah. That was our first year up there, which I mean, doesn't get much better than that. Yeah. Right? My first year making the move up there and just have an absolutely loaded roster, and we were able to win it in Brampton. So it wasn't too much of a trip either. And we all got to go home after and celebrate that together with friends and family. So that was an unbelievable experience.
Yeah, that's cool, man. Again, just winning anything obviously is a huge exclamation point on it, but your first year with the Six Nations, huge accomplishments in lacrosse in Ontario, you know?
Yeah, and a lot of people say that's one of the harder ones to win, right? You get five chances to win it, and that's it. You don't get to keep doing it. So that's not too many guys can say they've won one of those. So I'm definitely proud to be able to say I have.
Yeah, let's say you probably, you know, chances are you don't get really one shot, right?
Yeah. Most, you know what I'm saying? I can't say most teams have been to more than one, right? Like a few powerhouse teams have been to a few in a row, like in Six Nations. I won the one, but I think they won, what, three out of four or something like that. Of course, so dating back to 2014. So there's a few guys who won a few, but that's few and far between, right? That's only a handful of guys. Most guys might get a crack at it and might never win one. So,
yeah. And hey, man, like you said, opportunity and timing is everything to take that chance and go up there. You win the championship. Another opportunity you get, and just timing wise, is getting drafted to the NLL. Wow. You said before yourself it was a dream come true. So kind of take us through, you know, that summer, I guess, leading up to it.
Yeah, so that summer leading up to it, I knew I'd probably be talking to some people, but I hadn't heard anything early in the summer, right? No one's really reached out to me. And I ended up having a very good summer that year, and I won the Defender of the Year for the Junior A loop there. I think that helped kind of put my name on the map a little bit more. And obviously my brother played in Calgary before me, so they were one of the first teams to get in touch with me leading up to the draft. We had a really good conversation. Seemed like a very good fit for their team. They lost a defender, left-handed defender in the expansion draft that year. So that opened up a spot for me to slide in, and that made a lot of sense to me. Definitely, I talked to a few other teams going into the draft, but I was fairly confident that I was going to end up in Calgary. And I was very happy that that's kind of how it played out.
Yeah, man. To be, again, going where your brother went, just a little bit of, you know, like family pride, I suppose, you know, like you both go to the same team, get to stay in Canada too. I mean, it's cool to travel and maybe live elsewhere and stuff like that. But again, just to kind of play where the Flames play, it's pretty cool stuff.
Oh yeah, it's awesome. Playing in the Saddle Dome, it's such an iconic building, right? Just the shape of that thing. And there's been so many legends who played there and been through there. And like you say, it's a top-notch facility with the Flames being there as well. And in terms of family pride, it was nice. I didn't really know a lot of the staff or the guys going in there, but they knew of me through my brother, right? So it was easy to kind of build those connections once I got there. A lot of guys reached out to me right as soon as I got drafted and, you know, kind of welcomed me to the team. And I think, like you say, having my brother there kind of was able to help me build those connections early.
Yeah, man, that's cool stuff. And I mean, this is like technically your first year too, right? Because of the whole pandemic last year.
Pretty much, like I played six games. Okay. Yeah, six or seven, and we only played about nine. So first, hopefully, full year, right? Assuming everything keeps going as planned here.
Yeah,
that's hard to say, but yeah, that's and this year I'm definitely getting a little bit more of a chance to get time on the floor and insert myself in the lineup. So I'm definitely excited that this is hopefully going to be a full year, and I really get to prove myself and show what I have out there.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to make any predictions or assumptions or anything with the other stuff, but you're there, man. You know, you made it. So you're on fucking TSN now. Like,
man, that's crazy. Eh? Like,
yeah.
Literally, that's just mind blowing to me, right? From, I know a few years ago, they had their own streaming service, NLL TV, I think it was called. And coverage wasn't very good on that one. And then they went to the Bleacher Report Live, which was nice. At least you could get some pretty good streams, but it's not the same as being online.
Nope.
That's pretty cool to me.
Oh yeah,
it's awesome. Yeah,
I know. And so I was like, all right, I get to actually like tune in and watch games wherever I want. And of course, they're like Saturday nights. So
I know.
I was at a bar and it was on at least. So I was like, that's pretty cool. Across on TV, I'm like showing everyone.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. So like I was out with some buddies a few weeks ago and look up and like NLL on TSN commercials on. I was like, no way, like, that's me. And
exactly. Yeah. No, it's cool stuff, man, to be part of it, I'm sure. And just, you know, again, maybe not where it should be, but at least we got that. That's a step in the right
something,
direction.
Right? I think, unfortunately, probably a few years too early for, to collect the big bucks, eh?
Royalties.
I never know. Hopefully they grow it to something where it can be a full-time job. That's obviously the idea, right?
And that's what I would only imagine, man. And especially at least here in Canada, that's why at least we're getting this TV deal here. Yep. It's huge over there too, but it's gotta get some more eyes on it in Canada.
That's sure. That's what it is. Yeah, definitely. And I've heard so far the viewership's been pretty good. I think the first game at like 80,000 watching or something, which isn't too bad for something that not too many people are probably interested in, right? So just at least getting it on TV, getting some eyes on it, like you say, is definitely important next steps.
And also, you know, technically coming into the defending championship team, right?
Yeah. And that's, you know, obviously as a team, we had pretty high expectations and they lost a few pieces. And then even since the last season that we didn't end up finishing, lost a few more pieces. So we have a much different team than they had when they won it. A lot of young guys in the lineup. But there's still the expectation on ourselves, at least, that we're the defending champions. And somehow we end up being the underdogs in a lot of games, but I think that's in part to our young lineup. And that's okay with us. We like the underdog mentality. We like to grind games out, get wins that way. So hopefully we can repeat, and I wouldn't mind the NHL championship coming home to me as well, you know.
Yeah, man. Hey, get one here and one out west. That'd be pretty cool. Maybe one of the first around here to do that, as far as I would know. I don't know.
I don't know the history books too well, but
they go too far back, and there's guys we never even heard of. So
I know, so that'd be really cool. Let's fingers crossed on that one. But all we can do is, you know, play our best every night and see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, I figured it was a good squad you're coming into, even if it is new. I mean, that's kind of the mentality that everyone's going to assume too, you know. Everyone's there to prove themselves, and you kind of have that mystique from the last team kind of lingering over you, which hopefully it's helping you guys, you know, strive towards that and, you know, show how great you can be.
Absolutely, yeah. Like you say, that mystique, and there's just like a few guys offensively and defenses that have, on our offense and our defense, that we're playing on that team, probably a handful on both sides of the ball. So they bring a nice calming veteran presence. They've been there and they've done it before. So that really helps us and all of our young guys to give us an example to follow and, you know, remain calm when the games get chippy or they get close. And I think that'll help us kind of pull through at the end of the day in a lot of games.
Yeah, and they get chippy, that's for sure. I was hoping that you guys aren't playing Toronto at all this year, right?
So
I was hoping to catch that. I mean, the season's just kind of starting for you guys. Have you had was the home opener this past weekend or this weekend?
This upcoming weekend. Yeah. So Friday, home opener against San Diego. That'll be a good one. Hoping for a good crowd there.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to get out to some games, at least in Hamilton, Toronto. Who knows if I end up out west again, I'd like to come to a Roughnecks game. But I was hoping, you know, get a game where you're playing Josh or Brett or something. And you've been way up for that one. Too bad you guys are in different divisions. It
Would have been perfect. And like last year, we did have that game there, and I ended up not playing that one too. And I had some family there, so that was a little bit disappointing. This year, fingers were crossed, we were going to be back in Toronto, Hamilton now, like you say. And the way the schedule worked out with COVID and whatnot, they tried to confine it to East and West divisions a little bit more. So there's only a few crossover games. So didn't get that one, but you never know. If we both make the playoffs, maybe there will be an opportunity for that, which would be perfect.
Yeah, I was going to say never, and hopefully it's sooner than later, man.
Exactly.
Well, hey, man, this has been a great chat. A lot of stuff I wanted to talk about. We got to, and it's cool to just tell your story. A kid, obviously not living out in Calgary, but going out there to play pro lacrosse while you come home and do your schooling at Western. Cool stuff again to tell the stories of guys from Windsor, guys and girls from Windsor. You're all over the map, man. It's cool stuff. So thanks for taking the time to shoot the shit with me.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me. Like I said, Drake, and it's nice getting the platform to say some stuff and especially kind of talk about lacrosse. So there's just really not too much of an audience. So you giving us this time and this platform, it's awesome, man. Thank you very much.
Huge thanks to Liam LeClaire for joining me on the Wind City Sports Podcast, live from London, Ontario. He's a Western University student in the medical field. Don't know exactly what he's doing, but to be doing that, playing pro lacrosse over out west, a kid from Windsor, pretty cool stuff. Again, talk to him and on the podcast about kind of the sport growing a little bit. As I can't remember if we actually talked about it or not, but there was that crazy goalie fight that was all over the internet for a little bit for sports fans, I suppose. Don't know why people wouldn't want to watch lacrosse. If you've never seen it, check it out on TSN. And if things get back to normal, maybe we can catch a game in Hamilton. as mentioned to Liam as well. So the Rock, the Toronto Rock, playing out of Hamilton this year. A little bit of a shorter drive to drive up there. Easy drive. Drive up to Hamilton and check out a pro lacrosse game. So I wanted to do it as well when we were out in Halifax, but of course all away games when I was there. So yeah, man, thanks so much to Liam for taking the time to do that. So we talked about his dad a little bit in the interview. His dad was a teacher at my high school, so obviously a little didn't know him too well, never had him as a teacher or anything, but was well known. If you went to St. Joe's, you probably know who he is. But I love telling the lacrosse stories here on Wind City Sports. Again, something we don't do too often. I love giving the guys a platform to kind of do it for their hometown. Very, very cool stuff and such a tough sport, such a sport I respect and love to watch and just think it's so cool to be. And again, just anytime I talk to, you know, you can make a pro or a living playing pro sports. It's a good life. It's a good life. And I want to tell you guys that earlier in the show I mentioned I might have to bug you with some sponsors, but that interview was brought to you by BetUs.com. BetUs has partnered with Wind City Sports, and we're giving you, if you sign up now, new signees, they get a 125% bonus when you use the code WINCITY now. So sign up on BetUs.com and use the code WINCITY for 125% bonus. Tell them Wind City Sports sent you. And of course, it's going to help me out by getting the word out there for Wind City Sports. So thanks to Bet Us. I use a lot of sites, but we have another new one. America's favorite sports book, by the way, too. Gotta love it. But that being said, again, it's going to be kind of tough this week to round out some local sports news. Just like we talked about last week, it was a quiet week for Wind City Sports, for sports in the Wind City area. Still going on, though, just under the radar, I suppose, because no one's allowed to watch. We talked about our Windsor Spitfires the last couple weeks, got you caught up with their last couple weeks, and let you know going forward that as far as we're concerned now, on the 27th of this month, we might be able to get a home game at the WFCU. But we're going to pull up some other sports news from Jim Parker of the Windsor Star. We've talked about this guy before, not Jim in particular, but this guy he wrote an article on. He's now a two-time Grey Cup champion. He's from Belle River, technically. He's a University of Windsor alumni. It's Drew DeJarlis. I guess he's going out to some NFL contract invitation tryout. So the 24-year-old, again, he's a two-time Grey Cup champion for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. He reportedly visited four NFL clubs to work out last week, as he seeks a deal. Again, he's a University of Windsor product, 6'2", 314 pounds, played 2 years for the CFL, and now has the opportunity to potentially jump up to the NFL to join Dakota Shepley, another Windsorite. After Tyrone Crawford and Luke Wilson have retired, we only have one in the NFL now. So apparently he was working out and had stops with the Patriots, the 49ers, the Chargers, and the Bengals all last week. So that's pretty cool stuff. And, I mentioned I always like to talk about how we have at least one player, one athlete in every major sport, the major four. MLB, we have now Jacob Robson. NHL, we have a lot, but of course Zach Kassian comes to mind right away. NBA, we have Michael Mulder, and in the NFL we have at least Dakota Shepley and maybe Drew joining them. But now we have another to add to another unique aspect of sports, and Windsor's Petey Williams joining the WWE as a producer. He's a former wrestler with Impact Wrestling and TNA Wrestling, where my cousin Scott Damore kind of runs the show now. So of course, Scott doing his thing, but we have another athlete in a major sport, major league, I guess you can say, for professional wrestling, with Petey Williams joining. So hopefully it works out well with him, and he has a longer tenure than some others, but announced at a weird time as well. Congratulations to him, though. We had him on the show. He retired from wrestling. He came back and obviously has a love for it. So the guy from Windsor, cool stuff yet again. And as we begin to wrap it up here, again, not a lot of sports to talk about for Windsor, but that is kind of the problem, is that we don't have any OUA sports to talk about. And this has been quite the movement on Twitter and social media over the last couple of days, better yet, the last week, ever since this announcement came with closures and stuff. It's been in the past, you know, they rate, you know, these athletes in major sports in there somehow with exemptions. And there is exemptions for elite sports and elite athletes and stuff. And for whatever reason, the OUA, Ontario University Athletics Association, they're not included in that. So college and university players are not able to play at all right now. Not to get too far into it, but as we talked about, junior hockey is going on. The Windsor Spitfires are playing. The Junior B and Junior C teams are, as far as I know, playing without fans. Or maybe they're postponed. But regardless, these guys are and girls are more than elite. They're in between pro and your junior level, where you can continue to develop. You can continue to play at a high level. Especially for especially for every sport that OUA or university or college sports cover, they are top athletes, and it's for their future as well. This is a thing that had been talked about when the pandemic first happened and continued on for so long. We needed to get the kids and the athletes out there to better their future. You know, it'd be detrimental to their immediate future missing a recruitment year or something like that. So whatever, I can go on forever, but you got to jump on this, and OUA is elite. They are all elite, as I like to say. So join the movement online. If you know anyone that plays university sport or has or coaches or something, they are being affected by these rules. And simply put, it's just not right. There's a lot of things that aren't right in the world anymore, but this one, at least, I think we could manage. So let's do what we got to do. You might hear a lot of clicking in the background right now, and I'm trying my best, but my computer sucks. So anyway, hopefully my recording is still working and I am ready to wrap things up this week on the Wind City Sports Podcast. My name is Drake DeMore, and I'm here every Monday with you with a brand new episode of the Wind City Sports Podcast. Anywhere podcasts are found, including Spotify and Apple Podcasts. I say that word podcast so much, it literally has no meaning, but you can find us anywhere online. Simply search up Wind City Sports or the Wind City Sports Podcast. WINCITY is all one word. Wind City. Give us a like, follow, subscribe, and whatever app you might use, social media might use. We have a YouTube channel as well on top of our Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Give us a review, star rating. Let us know what you think and tell your friends. Share the Wind City Sports Podcast. Share it with the community. You can also follow me, Drake DeMore, on Twitter and Instagram, at Drake DeMore. But until next time, smell you later. This episode of the Wind City Sports Podcast was brought to you by Amherstburg Chevy Buick GMC. If you didn't know, Amherstburg Chevrolet Buick GMC is proud to serve drivers all throughout the county in South Amherstburg, Windsor, Kingsville, LaSalle, and beyond. They believe providing top quality service to everyone that walks to the door, and I can attest to that. That includes assistance with picking out new rides, financing it, and keeping it top quality condition. Right now, the holiday countdown event is back with amazing deals and savings on the new 2022 GMC Terrain.